Hi everyone, this is Tara, and you're listening to a special episode of Tea Time with Tara. This episode is actually the audio from a previously recorded Instagram Live. I had my friend Elena join me on live after we kept trying to schedule her to come on and kept missing each other. It worked out really great. After a few technical hiccups, I definitely do not plan on doing Instagram Live every time. This was just kind of like wanted to have the conversation, couldn't figure out the other stuff because I did no test runs ahead of time, and it just wasn't working. So I said, you know what, rather than waste any more time, let's just hop on Instagram Live and have this conversation. It is what it is. We wound up talking about relationships. I had just earlier in the day spoken with a friend who is kind of processing his own breakup and where he's at in his life with whether or not he wants to be in a relationship, how he feels about relationships, all that stuff. And I feel like that's a common theme with a lot of people that I've spoken with, just that they are feeling like, no, I don't want to be in a relationship. So anyway, that's kind of where this was inspired from. And I think that it was a great conversation despite the shitty audio. So check it out. You can also watch the video on my Instagram at teatime.with.tara. There's not going to be any special intro or outro music. I'm just going to transition right into the recording. I hope you enjoy it, and I will definitely plan better for my future live shows so that it's easier for you to catch. Sorry for the growling. My cats are fighting.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm having tea.
Oh, I'm having iced tea.
It's tea nonetheless. Yeah.
All right, so I really wanted to do this discussion about, like, just people have, I've noticed that, especially lately, people have, like, a really jaded perspective on relationships now. Mm. And I can totally understand and appreciate that, especially having been through the shitty relationships that I've been through. Hey, Amanda. Amanda has also been in that shitty relationship, actually. So I just feel like there are so many people that end up, like, projecting their shit and saying, like, well, you know, this was my experience before, and so this is what's going to happen, and this is what everyone wants now. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that that's a healthy thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think that there's this narrative that we tend to subconsciously on a certain level, and then maybe throughout time it becomes almost like, well, things just keep happening like that to me, so it is my truth. But there's this narrative that we've kind of all succumbed to, maybe at one point of our lives or an extended period of time, where mm-hmm. We dare to open our heart, yeah, and we dare to take a chance, and it was on the wrong people, or maybe just the wrong time with the right people. but you know, I think there's this preconceived, like, you know, we kind of like go into this phase of our lives where we've been burned, and mm-hmm. maybe it's just like one too many times, and now we just almost become like, well, you know what, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. And yeah, maybe you are presented with someone that's actually really good, but you can't see, or the moments you do see, they're also plagued with this doubt of, well, what does this person want in exchange, or when is the other shoe gonna drop? And yeah, so that jadedness, it's like a trauma.
Oh, that
it's almost like we almost become identified by this.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like we've all definitely done this at one point or another, but sometimes it's really hard to detach, especially if it's been several times or several times on some very deep emotional levels. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you break that paradigm? Like, how do you make that switch?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a part of when people start dating, right, where we have this expectation of like, this is what I want, or this is what I expect this person to be, based on whether it's something that they've shown you, something that you assume about them, or your own shit. And it's probably a combination of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the idea of just kind of like going with the flow has been lost a little bit. I really feel like people just need to know so badly what's going to happen, and we forget that like you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and we need to just like be in the moment, enjoy the ride, like stop putting so much pressure and weight on it, because like we're all our own individual people. If you can allow somebody into your life, you should be allowing them into your life because they enhance it or make it feel better in some way.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this like big, heavy, like so much effort that it's like painful, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that people sometimes impose, like maybe let me reframe the question. We forget maybe that the only thing we do have control of is ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes we get really frustrated by how people show up and however way that they show up.
Yeah.
And instead of looking at ourselves, well, how can I reframe? How can I adjust? Or how can I interpret this differently? Or whatever other XYZ scenario that you can take control of your own space and your own self, of what you say, how you interpret, how you think. We just automatically go into this defensive blame mode that like, well, of course I'm the asshole. Why did I say anything? And now I'm just going to shut you out because you just didn't understand anything. And instead of saying, well, clearly I wasn't communicating in a way that I was being understood. What can I do differently?
Right. Yeah. But I think that so many people have a hard time just communicating clearly in general, or accepting when somebody's communicating, like accepting what they're saying, how they're saying it, and just kind of like putting a little bit of trust in that person, you know, saying, hey, I feel I'm disappointed about this, but like, it's cool. I'm not mad at you. I just want you to know that I'm disappointed about this, or I feel whatever about this, so that this kind of, it doesn't become a pattern.
Right.
And like, that should be okay. Those kinds of, that kind of communication, as long as you're not a dick, as long as you're not a dick like my dog, you should be able to just say those kinds of things. You're like, hey, yes, I'm just telling you this because this didn't feel good. Okay, cool. Thank you for letting me know. I'll work on that. Boom, done. Problem solved. Like, it doesn't have to be so fucking complicated.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's tough when one person tries to communicate that way and then it's received as like an attack, when nothing about how that comment was made was, you know, an attack. It was just like, look, I'm letting you know this. I wish there was more openness. Yeah. There was more XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And instead it's just turned into where that's where the person comes with that jadedness maybe, or where that person comes with their own preconceived notions of how, what it means when someone is expressing something that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because in the end, we all don't like to hear when we're doing something that doesn't make the other person feel good.
Right.
But it's like, it's tough, right? I think there's this, it's a two-sided of a medal, because on one end, we can do all we can to try and come up and forward in a relationship to speak in a way that's like, hey, look, like, I'm really not saying this in a kind of way that's inflammatory. I'm just letting you know this bothers me. I'd like to have this more. Like, this makes me happy. Instead, sometimes it's going to be received in the opposite way. And so that's also a lesson in and of itself. Like, you also have to understand people aren't always going to meet you where you're at. And there's growth in knowing, okay, like, maybe I need to step back and have a different conversation before we can get to that conversation.
Or maybe this is not the right person for me if we can't have these kinds of conversations. Like, that's also okay too.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned about my last relationship. like it got to the point where I could not say, hey, you bailed on me, that hurt my feelings, without it being like a big thing, because I expressed that I was not happy with something that he did. It's like, well, dude, don't fucking blow me off. We don't have a problem. Don't make plans if you don't want to keep your plans. Like, why do we have to like make things so much more complicated?
Would you say that some of the jadedness that maybe you've observed or you've heard people talk about when it comes to relationships got exacerbated, especially in these last 2 to 3 years, you know, through pandemic, through all that? Do you feel like maybe it's given people a different perspective on things?
I don't know if it's necessarily that it has actually been over the last couple of years, or if it's just that these are the conversations that I'm having now because of where I'm at in my life. But I do think that it's interesting to see like how many people are like, yeah, I don't want to be in a relationship because I've committed myself to somebody and I feel like it ruined my fucking life. And like, or, you know, I want to be able to do my own thing and I feel like I can't do my own thing in a relationship, like not wanting to have somebody to answer to and stuff like that. And it's like, well, first of all, early on in the relationship, especially, you should really just be like, hey, want to hang out? And you hang out and vibe and get to know each other and like no pressure. You want to figure out if you want this person in your life long term. You can't just project all of your hopes and dreams on a person. And I think that probably happens a lot. Like people projecting, I want this, so I need to find out right up front, is this person going to be able to offer that to me?
Yeah. I think how do I go about this? There's a couple different thoughts that came to mind. I think that there's a question of, it depends where both people are at when you first meet, because sometimes there's those people that you just instantly click and there's not even certain conversations because it's like you're already at the next step. But I think that even in those situations, there's always a moment where you realize, hey, like there's certain things we didn't get a chance to talk about, and it's always good. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It doesn't have to be a scary thing, and it's really healthy. And I think that it always will come down to communication, right? Because having an understanding of where the other person is and having, you know, holding space in the same way that we want to be heard from the other side, right? I think maybe you know, going to the question about if you felt like this was a scary related, or maybe if you saw a spike, and maybe some people, maybe discerning more, I think discernment would be a word I would use, or what people has started to realize over the last few years. And I think that's a gift in and of itself, right? Understanding the people who you realize, you know, off the bat, they're not going to be good for you. And whereas there's the others that make you feel different and you want to continue and you want to develop that. And it, you know, that it's also going to require more work now, because I feel that people are showing up in different ways in relationships. That requires more accountability on both sides. And so sometimes that it might make someone feel like it's a shoe dropping, but it's not. It's just that now we're at a place where we want to have and cultivate and develop these relationships at a deeper level, but it also means having these difficult conversations that to some can be scary. And that can also feel like, oh, well, you know, the last time I had a conversation like this, it just went to shit. Right. And that was the beginning of the end. And I think that there's power in knowing that you can actually, we can actually build something from that and say, you know, we're actually establishing some really strong foundations to this relationship and trusting in that too.
I agree with that completely. I think the other thing is that, like, something that keeps coming up, I don't know if you've ever seen the app, The Pattern. And so on my pattern, it's like a recurring theme of me having relationships in an unconventional way and like breaking what the stereotype of having a relationship is. And so I've really been thinking about what that would mean. And hi, Jesse. what it boils down to is that, like, we don't, I think that, like, from a very young age, I mean, we see our parents, we see other adults, we're socialized to see relationships a certain way. And that, like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what happens. This is what it's supposed to be like. And I'm really, especially, like, being a single mom, realizing that I really like my alone time. I like my, quote, freedom. I have kids, so it's not like I can just do whatever the fuck I want anytime. But on my weekends without the kids, I'm a free woman. And it is so nice. Like, what I want, I think, and it's like the silliest, smallest little thing, or so you would think, is just somebody who's going to respect me, who is going to want to hang out with me sometimes and do fun things sometimes, have great sex, have great conversations, and cuddle. And, like, it sounds so simple.
In theory, it is. But we are very complicated. We're houseplants with very complicated emotions. Like,
what the fuck? Why are we so complicated when, like, it should really be so easy and so simple? I don't get it.
You know, I think it goes back to why some people can be jaded, is because we let ourselves get caught up in our doubts, in our previous pains and patterns, you know, because it's a constant learning and unlearning. And everybody you meet will make you realize parts of yourself that maybe you hadn't realized you had to work on.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the core what we want, at the core what we want is beautiful and simple. But then there's things that come into it that make you realize, you know, hey, you kind of not been addressing certain things. And it pushes us to feel uncomfortable. And that's when things kind of get a little hairy. You know?
Yeah, and you know, but that's an important thing that you just said there, because really that's what it boils down to, is like, we are the people bringing ourselves into this situation. We're bringing all of our shit into this situation, whether we want to or not. It's just part of who we are. So what I think that happens that causes conflict in situations and, like, misunderstandings a lot of the time is, instead of people being able to say, this is my shit, I'm feeling insecure, for example, and so this is why I'm reacting this way, like, instead of taking that time to pause and to look inward at why you have a bad feeling, it automatically is, you did this, you made me feel this way. And it's like, no, dude, this is all, it's all us. Like, I have learned, getting out of this last relationship, how fucking insecure I am. Like, I did not realize how insecure I am until I broke up with somebody and was like, okay, so now what? Like, I knew that I wanted that relationship to end for quite some time. We tried some different things. It didn't work. And then I'm way over it. Do I want to date? I don't know. Do I like pretty people? Yes. Do I want companionship? Of course, who doesn't? But, like, I would be bringing that insecurity into a situation. And so I've been working on, like, once I realize that, I've been working on looking at, what is it that I am feeling so insecure about? Where is that fear coming from?
Yeah.
Because it's not anybody else's shit, you know? That's my shit. Nobody's making me feel that way. That's me.
Yeah. I think, you know, having that inner dialogue, and that's like an inner audit of understanding, like, what makes me feel unsafe to be able to be myself truly. And there's not like one right way or one system that works, because everybody's different. Yeah. We all have our own reasons to feel those things.
Yeah.
But the only way to get through it is to go through it. And I think there's a lot of people who also avoid it, because the difficult part of when we have these things, and I think, I can speak for myself, I also have that, I've had that, there was a period of time where it was really bad. And the reality is, you have to literally literally reopen all your wounds and face the root of them and feel those pains all over again to understand really where they came from and why they're still there. And then learn to embrace the scars that they've created, because it allowed you to blossom into the person that you are today.
Yeah.
And the things that, instead of looking at them as a baggage or weight, it's actually the things that, the stepping stones that catapulted you forward and onward and higher up this mountain of your own life trajectory that you would never have been able to reach if had you not gone through those things. And you know, there's a reason why we say hindsight is 20/20. You can't understand what it is that you're feeling yet you're going through until you've gone through it, and then you've taken a look back and really sat there and went and looked at it to find true home, to say, okay, like, this is what happened, but I reacted this way at this exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an infinite amount of answers that come out from that. It just depends how much we want to go into it. And that's kind of the beauty of who we are as individuals. Like, we are such a deep well of, like, we're multidimensional. And, like, one instance probably gave birth to infinite new versions of you.
Yeah.
And that's a really beautiful gift. But in order to see all of those beautiful versions of you, that also means facing the thing that really caused you this tremendous amount of pain or heartache or anger or whatever.
Leaning into that, looking at it and facing it, is how you grow and become that person. And I feel like so many people are so afraid of doing that because they've been hurt. But, like, I mean, I love bread.
I dropped my headphone.
What?
My headphone fell out. Anyway, I love red flags. It's like I see red flags and I'm like, oh, pretty. And like, once I learned that about myself, I started to look at, okay, well, why am I doing that? And it's almost like, I mean, I don't know, but now at least I can detect them a whole lot quicker. And I think that's probably like a self-esteem thing, that like worthiness thing. I settle is the point of that I've caught myself settling because it's safe, because, well, this is maybe this is the best that I can do because I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough or whatever, rather than being like, no, dude, this sucks. I do not like this. This does not feel good. And being able to, like, not hold it against that person and just moving the fuck on.
Yeah. And I think, like, the other side of this goes back to the initial point of, you know, I guess topic of this conversation was the jadedness.
Mm-hmm.
Is those people who, okay, yeah, let's call them the red flags, right? You see the red flags and it's like, oh, it's a shiny new object, you know? I want to go ahead and explore it from here.
I love it.
Right? It looks so good on me. What do you mean? But I think that there's also this other side, that there's some that might even go specifically, and maybe subconsciously too, that will go to those that will essentially enact the truth that they come to want to basically believe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the lie that you say to yourself to the point where you say it so often that it starts to sound like the truth because you've literally created the circumstances in your life to make that reality.
Yeah.
And so, like, that takes a huge amount of, like, introspection and, like, facing yourself and understanding, like, yo, I had taken an inventory, like, I had taken a look at my relationship that I had and maybe why some of them hadn't worked out. And I was just like, every time that I had a partner that was trying to show up for me and be there for me, I'd be like, I got this. And then I'm always over here saying, like, well, there's never anybody here for me. I would have to do everything by myself. And it's like, well, then you're pushing everybody away. So you're literally creating the exact reality that you are complaining about.
Yep.
But it's like you're doing it because it's almost like you do the same movement every day. The same thing. Like the same way you train a dog, the same way that you create habits, you just repeat it until it's muscle memory that you don't even have to think.
Yeah.
The same thing happens for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens for your own life with, like, why some people feel like, oh my God, I have a dark cloud following me everywhere. I always have bad luck. Well, it's because you always talk about the bad luck you have. And you don't even realize it, that you're causing these bad things to happen to you because you're literally telling the universe, this is how my life is. My life just bad thing after bad thing. And then the next thing you know, bad things happen in threes. Yeah. So it just keeps happening, and it keeps happening, and it's like, it's a cycle that's difficult to break. You good?
Yeah. It froze for a second.
Sorry. Yeah, I saw you freeze, and I was like, oh, let me make sure we're both still on.
Well, yeah, that's it. You know, it's a good point about, like, kind of creating it, like, creating those cycles and
or enabling them, right?
Yeah. I like, what came to mind was, you reap what you sow. And it's so true. Like, I mean, I can think of an ex that cheated on me. And when I was like, why? That you wanted, because you told me that that's what I was doing. So why? Sorry. I'm getting a phone call. Yeah, that's why it was bugging out.
So you were saying you're giving everything and.
Yeah. So like, I put my everything into this relationship, and I tried to be the best partner that I could possibly be. And I was being told, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, over and over and over again. And then I get cheated on, and it's like, well, how the fuck? If I was the best thing that ever happened to you, why would you do that? And what it was that that person, I was so good to them, and I was what they thought the best thing that ever happened to them. And they thought that they did not deserve me. And so they did
sabotage.
They did things to make it so that they were not worthy of me and did not deserve me. And like, people do that all the time. I mean, that's just one example. Being unfaithful, or, you know, like you were saying, pushing people away because you're like, no, I've got this, and then being like, why am I so alone?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the I hadn't read this somewhere, but there's like a word, but it's kind of like, we're our own enemy in a way, in the sense that so many times we're the one to, and I don't like the word blame, but we're the ones responsible, and we don't even want to see it. Like, we're so clouded in that sense, because it's really hard, like, man, to like really sit there and sit in the fact that, like, you really fucked all this up by yourself. Like, you did this.
Yep.
Like, you created this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, there might be moments where you even catch yourself in the moment doing something, and then you're kind of like, fuck it. Like, it's fine. And then next thing you know, it's like, you know what? It really isn't fine, but now it's too late. Like, I already took that step.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've already pushed him away. Or, you know what? Anyways, there goes to show you, I don't deserve anything good. Because anyways, I always just fuck everything up. I'm the person who fucks shit up. And then you basically just go back into that cycle of self-deprecate, and you just like, well, this is what it is. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back to square one again. So
I think that, you know, that's an interesting, this is that perspective of like, this is what I do. This is, I relate to that.
So my life is like this.
Yeah.
This is what it is. How do you change that? Like, it's so hard. Like, we're such creatures of habit, and we like comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You know how uncomfortable it is to have to change, like, going from a reactionary to, you know what, I'm just going to sit back and, like, wait before I answer, when, like, the initial instinct is just, that's it. I can't hear you. What happened to your microphone? Hello? I feel like it's got a...
I don't know where it is. I can hear it, but I can't find it. Can you hear me now?
No, I can't.
So, what I was saying... It's like in my... I don't know if it's in my pants or what happened. But anyway, I've been lost it, man.
About being creatures of habit.
Yeah. So that idea of like, I don't deserve this, or I'm going to fuck this up, or it always goes wrong. Like, that's what I've been hearing a lot of from people. And like, how is it that, I mean, is everybody really that depressed? Is everybody really that fucked up right now, that like, we're all like collectively feeling that way? I mean, to an extent anyway. It just seems like to go back to what I was saying before about how it just feels like so many people are in that dark negative mindset of like, I don't want this, I can't do this, I'm better off being alone for whatever reason. Like rather than it being a positive thing, like I was saying, like I like being alone. There are certain parts of it that I really like, but then there are other parts of it that I don't like. And that's
right.
One that like really it's the physical touch and like human interaction part of it. You can have people meet certain needs of yours in different ways. Like you don't need your partner to be everything. And I think that that is a downfall of a lot of relationships where people expect their partner to be everything. And it's like, no, man, I need my own fucking space. Get the fuck away from me. Let me do my own thing. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Don't come close. I think that there's a balance. Yeah. And I think, well, go ahead.
My ex-husband, I remember telling him all the time, like, dude, go be with your friends. You are going to be so miserable if all you do is work and come home and work and come home. You need to interact with people other than me and your children. And like, he couldn't do it. It, for whatever reason, he had his own stuff, and I'm not going to like dig into that. But it really hurt our relationship. It hurt our relationship because then people thought that I was keeping him from them, and like that I was saying, "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that." And it was like, here I am. Like, I'm pretty sure I reached out to his best friend and his brother and was like, yo, make him go out, please. Like, for the love of God, please. I have friends that meet certain needs. Like, I have certain friends that want to talk about politics. Some people don't want to talk about politics. That's fine. I can talk to those people about it. Or like, I want to talk to certain people about being a parent. Not everybody gives a shit about hearing about my kids. So I have that need met with certain people. Like, you don't need to put it all in one person. And I think that is a huge pressure that I think maybe we're socialized to believe that. Because like I believe in a really strong family unit. I believe in like partnership and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what does that really look like? Like what does, and it's different for everybody, of course.
But I think that there's the element too that when you met the person, when you first met each other, a big part that attracted you is that they had these things going on in their life, because we do, like you said, we all need, that's why we have different friends, because we can't get, just like you said, everything from one person, in the sense that, you know, I have my one friend I'll talk spiritual stuff with. I have my other friend that it's, you know, I don't know, books, or it's going to be about work stuff because we're in the same industry or whatever. So, you know, you're going to have people that are going to fulfill different needs. You're going to have people that, you know, that you can literally speak to for hours and just shoot the shit. And it doesn't have to be anything in particular. It's just, you're talking about everything and nothing. And it's at the end of the day, someone's like, what did you guys talk about? I don't even know what to tell you we talked about, because we were just, you know, talking shit the whole time. And there's an attractiveness to that. There's a balance that comes with that, because the pressure of then saying to someone like, you're my end of the all and everything is coming to you. It's like these people in your life, the few close people that you have that you consider your friends, they're also there to help refill your cup in a way that, and it's not a bad thing, in the way that your partner can't do that for you, because your partner is going to be your biggest cheerleader. I mean, but you know, obviously, ideally. Your partner is going to be your biggest supporter. They're going to be trying to do everything, you know, to be there. But there's also times that that's not what you need in that moment. And it's not a negative thing. It's like, I just need time with my girlfriend to just, you know, get dolled up and go out. Or if it's just to sit and watch like a play that they did in high school, you know, and it can be something that simple. So I think that there is a balance, because also the pressure that it puts on the other person. It's like, dude, like, I will go to the ends of this world for you. Right? But I'll go, I'm gonna go to bat. You're my partner. You're in my life. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You need something. I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna do whatever needs to get done. But there's also a beautiful thing that comes with knowing that they also have support systems around them that can say, hey, you know what? Like, I actually know something that works really great for them. And you have your way of doing it, but like, it's great when you can also have these outlets.
Yes.
Because you're always going to approach it from only one side. Mm-hmm. And as individuals, we're not just like, you're one way when you're at work, you're one way when you're, you know, maybe if you play sports, you're one way when you play sports, you're one way when you're with your family, with your sister versus your mother, even if when you're all together, you're one way too. But that doesn't mean that you're a different person. It's just another side of who you are.
Exactly.
It's just equally true to who you are as an individual. Not one version is a fake version. Not one version, I mean, and this is obviously we're talking about people who are healthily approaching their relationships and their friendship.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of those variations or personas that we have, they're all equally true to who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that it's interesting that you say that because it's kind of a callback to what I said before about like when I have the kids and when I don't have the kids. It doesn't mean that I am two different people. It just means that these are different parts of my life. Yeah. And so I'm going to handle different parts of my life differently. Like, I want to have fun. I work my ass off and I earn that shit. And so when I have a minute to breathe, to let loose, I want to do that. And I'm not being careless or reckless. I'm not putting anything at risk because that's a big important thing. Like, you know, people, for example, like people drinking so much that they're getting DUIs and stuff like that. Well, then that bleeds into every part of your life. And that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Emily, what's the deal, man? She's been acting so weird the last couple of days. I think one of the cats is fucking with her. But yeah, like we are multifaceted human beings, and we shouldn't feel like we have to limit ourselves to one path and direction and like pattern every day.
Yeah.
You should be able to connect with those different parts of yourself at different times and not feel like I need to be here with this person. I need to do this with this person. Like if somebody is trying to get you to stop doing the shit that you love to do and stop spending time with the people that you love spending time with, you need to get out of that situation because that's not healthy. It's really, really toxic.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I look back in my past relationships that were like that, it also comes from a fear and almost like what you were saying, the sabotaging of like, you know, it's not the right thing. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't compromise on that. But then the person makes you do that also because they don't feel worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a lot that goes into that. And having a healthy relationship and relationships, when we say relationships, you know, it's friendships. Friendships are relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
A life partner. All of those, they all require a sense of honesty, communication, accountability, but also the freedom to say, I'm here. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to support in the path that you want to take in a positive way. Obviously, as long as it's not like self-destructive habit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just want to see you happy. And I, you know, the person that I met, you know, one of the reasons, like going back to that sometimes is good at saying like, what really drew me in at first? Okay, what about those things that I drew you into me? What can I do to get back to that? Maybe these are things that I forgot about myself. The same thing that maybe there's the things that you forgot about yourself that you say, you know what, like those are the roots. And let's go back to that because part of what brought us together was the fact that we had these outlets. We had these activities. We were involved in these things that brought out more of who we were. So in each moment, we were more authentically happy because we were expressing and having opportunities to be more of who we are in different scenarios.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, and that ties into your mental health. Like if you're doing different things, spending time with different people, having your needs met by
other people, like, number one, you're happier, but number two, it's not as draining on your partner or your relationship. Like, I don't know if it's that wasn't going to be see what she's actually barking at. Is there a cat? Oh yeah, it's a cat. She's barking at the cat. Can you what? I don't understand. It's like, hi, we live with cats. You've been doing this now for a
while. Not you.
Why are we barking at them? Anyway, yeah, your mental health, your partner's mental health. Like, I'm the kind of person, and what I learned about myself in my last relationship, there were a lot of healthy things. There were a lot of healthy things that we did, and there were a lot of great things that I learned. One of those things was, like, I recognized that as long as somebody is able to communicate, there's a lot of those insecurities that are really easily, like, relieved, you know. Yeah. Like, instead of we make plans, you're tired, or you want to hang out with your friends or whatever, like, and you don't want to hang out that night for whatever reason, like, say so. Hey, you know, I had a really shitty week and I need some time with my friends. Let's hang out tomorrow, or let's, you know what I mean? Like, those yeah. kinds of things are so easy, because then you're not thinking, oh my God, did I do something wrong? Am I, like, are they avoiding me? Getting into those patterns of being really transparent, being able to say, like, I trust that my partner is not going to get mad at me.
Yeah.
So creating that safe space as the partner, being mm-hmm. a partner, but also, like, being able to trust, hey, I trust this person. I'm not worried about them going out with their friends because I know that they love and care about me. And honestly, if they don't, fuck them. Like, bye. we don't need that. Like, trying to control somebody's life, trying to take over somebody's life is not going to keep them.
No.
Just going to push them away.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to what you said about, like, just saying what it is that you need yeah. or what you want or what you wish more of, like, yeah. it doesn't always have to be, like, it's okay to just come out and say it openly and directly too, and say, look, like, this is how I've been feeling lately. And even if it's just a temporary spike of that emotion that comes up, and, like, I'm a very, like, the first thing that I always say is, like, I'm an emotional individual. I feel things very deeply. So there's going to be natural moments in time where, you know what, lately I just feel a little bit more sensitive than usual. So I need a little bit more this. Like, mm-hmm. I need a little bit, like, more softness is the word that sometimes I use. Because I know that I'll react badly, or I'll react, like, more like something's meant to hurt me, even if it's not. And so also recognizing that and saying, hey, or saying, I wish, you know, a certain instance, like, whatever it is that you want, you come out and say it directly. Mm-hmm. I think that it doesn't have to automatically mean it's going to turn into an argument, or that it's something negative.
Yeah.
And there's a learning process that comes with understanding each person in their relationship of, like, how do they communicate about those needs. Mm-hmm. But then it's also our responsibility to make sure to say, hey, like, look, I'm trying to explain something to you. This is not me trying to be offensive or to be on the attack. Like, I'm just trying to explain that I need this, or, you know, I wish something happened more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes, and this is something I had learned a while ago, like a few years ago, was, you know, we sometimes also have to teach how, like, what we need and how we need to be loved. Because the same way that you teach a child, like, what they need to do and how to react or interact in certain situations, when you're in a new relationship and you need something, or maybe you see, okay, like, I'm not really, like, this is coming off in a way that is not how I'm trying to say it. Mm-hmm. Having the other person understand your internal process also helps them adjust. And that's a constant process. And there's a lot of patience that comes with that. Because we all have our own quirks, and we have our own, and some of these things are learned through what we have gone yeah. through, right? Like, some of the trauma and the pains that we've gone through in our past relationships. Okay, I realize that, you know what, it's going to take me a little longer when I'm upset about something too. And then you say this, but my effort, I'm going to try and do X, Y, Z, or my goal is to approach this conversation when I don't feel like I need to raise my voice about it. Or, you know, healthily communicating a boundary. Like, it was something that I would say the last 2 or 3 years ago, during COVID was really when I was able to start to look at my own internal mechanisms. Like, what do I do in certain situations? Like, how do I react? Like, I hate fighting. I hate name calling. It's something I can't do. But I also know that if I get pushed and I get pushed and I feel like I'm in a corner and it's like, I'm trying to say like, let's redirect. There's a point where I'll snap and I'll just go and say things that I never wanted to. And I tried to put up those flags. I was like, let's just stop. Let's pause this conversation more. And so, what I'm going to do, and I used to do this often with my mother, because her and I sometimes we would, you know, really, we're very passionate, we're both very strong headed, and so we get into these really big arguments. And I say, you know what, Mom, like right now it's not, I can't continue this conversation, because if I keep going, I'm going to say things that you can't take back, and I don't want to go down that route. So I'm gonna take some time and we're gonna talk about this again. I want to talk about this. We just need to revisit when I'm not as emotionally charged, because I need the clarity to be able to have a healthy conversation. Because the point of this argument should be, okay, we both face that we have differences, what resolution, and what are we going to agree to do? And it's okay to agree to disagree and say, I see what you're saying, I still don't agree with it, but I respect you, and this, it's okay. Like, I don't have to agree with what you say, I don't have to agree with your opinion on it, but I really love you, and at the end of the day, that's going to overrule, because my argument isn't consequential, because if it's not going to matter in 5 years from now, don't spend more than 5 minutes on it, type of thing. And so sometimes it's okay to say, I'm going to hit pause, because this conversation, this argument, it's not good for either of us. Yeah. But it's hard, because sometimes it can be perceived like, one time someone was like, oh, you know, it's real convenient, because now you don't want to talk about it, we can't talk about it. It's like, I'm not saying I don't want to talk about it. I actually really do, and I want to continue this conversation. I just also recognize that I have a limit right now. And if I'm going, I'm actually going to be doing a disservice to this relationship and this conversation. Yeah. And that's like recognizing our own limitations, right? Because that comes with, I love you, and I know that if I keep going, I'm going to say things that are going to hurt me and are going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's healthy to do, but I know I have been the, so that's like an attachment style thing. And so I know that I have been both the anxious partner and the avoidant partner before. And so like when there's conflict, it can be really hard to just walk away. It can be really hard to say we shouldn't be doing this right now, because it feels so bad. That sometimes you just want to resolve it.
Yeah.
But that's like, it's so important to know, like to have that self-awareness of like, nope, this is not going to end well. We need to take a step back. There's nothing good is going to come out of this right now. But also being able to have the self-awareness and the ability to just remember, like, my partner can't read my mind. So I need to be able to communicate very clearly how I'm feeling or what I need, especially I think what you need. And in times of conflict, that's probably like the biggest part, like saying, you know, if your partner is anxious and they're freaking out because you guys got into an argument and you need a fucking minute, how do you reconcile that? Because somebody's needs aren't going to be getting met, right? So you compromise. Like, you might say, okay, well, I understand that you feel like this really needs to be resolved right now. I want you to know that I value our relationship, and that's why I need to walk away and collect my thoughts and come back to it. This is not and set like time limits, for example, right? Because you know that your partner is going to be freaking the fuck out. So say, I'll check back in with you in X amount of time, so that you know, like, I love you and I'm thinking about you. I might still need more time to process things and not continue this conversation yet. But then you're still letting your partner know, like, I love you and I care about you, and like, I just need to process this shit. Doing things like that, communicating, you know, whatever it is that you need. Like, for me, I need hugs. I always need hugs. I'm always like, can you please just hug me, or like,
I say all the time, okay, I just want
to
hug.
Yeah, I just want to hug, or I just need to be cuddled. Like, that's, like, it's all I need sometimes. Just need to be cuddled. And that's enough for me to be like, okay,
yeah,
I can handle holding off on continuing this conversation, or I can, you know, whatever. Just, or even hold my fucking hand if you can't hug me because you're so mad at me. Like,
right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, like, I can't bear, like, let's say it's, like, at the end of the night, I can't go to bed and not even, like, kiss and hug and say, you know what, I love you, we're going to talk about this and move on with the next day, because, like, what if I choke on my sleeve? Tara, what happened? What is the last thing that happened was we had our backs to each other and we didn't even have a kiss and a hug at the end of the night over an argument that we don't even remember 2 years from now. You know,
what if I die?
I see this all the time. Like, I'm like extra like that sometimes. Like, even the, I said that to my sister and get annoying at her, but I'm like, you know, I love you. And then she's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, bitch, what if I died after we hung up? What if I slip and bump my head so hard that I don't remember who you are?
Hello, have you met my sisters? Have you met my family? Are we not the most dramatic, ridiculous, needy people ever?
So, you know, for me, that there's, I feel like there's also a way to talk about it, and it could be something like, look, we can have arguments and we can have an unresolved argument for a short term, mm-hmm. but these are the non-negotiables. Even if we have an argument, I want to go to sleep and we can hug and a kiss. It doesn't mean that we have to cuddle all night, but I at least don't want to feel like my bed is cold, because, you know, it doesn't matter, because in the end, I love you. This argument does not define the fact that I love you or not, because I fucking love you, yeah. and you're stuck with me until, you know, whatever God's plan is. And I think that it's also be able to communicate and say, okay, we will have different, we will have arguments, we'll have disagreements, and there's going to be very variable scales to the intensity of those, and a lot of things will impact the severity or intensity, let's call it, of this disagreement. But these are my non-negotiables. These are the lines that I can't cross, because I don't awesome. And then there's the unfortunate scenarios where you try to course redirect when something is happening, and then it's like the white flags are being ignored and it gets push, and now you have nowhere else to turn, and then you end up stepping into the exact space you didn't want to be in because you felt like you couldn't do anything else, and then you say things and now you're both left with the aftermath of like, damn, we took this too far, mm-hmm. now we have to do more work. Yep. But it's also a learning, it's a moment where we can both say, you know what, like, we love each other and we both messed up. Let's establish boundaries that we know are going to keep this relationship safe, because that's what matters to us. And I think, you know, there's a beauty in that, in these moments where we feel like we mess up, there's opportunity in them to make something more beautiful come from them. And it doesn't have to be, well, the other shoe dropped. Well, there you go. My life sucks.
My ex-boyfriend I dated too much. So this one real gem of a guy that I dated, every time that we would argue, it would be like, I thought that we could talk about things and come to a resolution, come to a solution, and that would help us grow together. But he was always like, no, we shouldn't be arguing in order to be closer together. And it's like, you're not understanding what I'm saying. And it was always just like, conflict is bad. You're bad. This is bad. And it was like,
you can't have an opinion, Tara. No. Watch out.
No, I'm never allowed to have an opinion. Actually, in my last two relationships, it was one. One would get pissed, one would get sad. So it was like...
Yeah, I think, you know, there's like understanding, right? I feel like for a disclaimer, it's like, I'm emotional, I'm strong, opinionated, I'm very soft, and I need like cuddles, but at the same time, I'm a bad bitch.
Yeah.
I'm a complex person.
Yeah. Like, don't fuck with me, but also please just give me hugs and kisses.
Yeah, like, don't ignore me. I can't take it.
Like, fuck around and find out, but also...
Catch in these hands.
No.
No, we're not using hands. taking me too far. I'm sorry.
Maybe verbal assault.
Yes. Bean pants in the verbal way is what I'm trying to say here. We're not for that at all.
No.
Put that disclaimer out there.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've definitely been a person to like, actually, I think my dad said this one time that he was like, you're like a word ninja. You be slaying people with your words and shit.
Can that be part of your new bio for your podcast? You're a word ninja.
I love that.
It's a great tagline. That should become a hashtag you use, just saying.
Hashtag word ninja. Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, I keep it real. And sometimes I get to a point where I'm not going to sugarcoat anything anymore. I'm not going to take the time to regulate and think about how you're going to feel about this. Because I'm just going to say how I'm feeling right now, whether the fuck you like it or not. We don't want to go there. We don't want to do those things, you know? Like, we want to be able to have conversations in a healthy way and to not be hurtful and to not emotionally eviscerate each other. Like,
right. Because then nobody wins. Yeah. And nobody's hurt. And at the end, that's what we all want. We want to be heard. We want to be seen and we want to feel love. And it's almost like a tit-for-tat, you know, there's points where it becomes so difficult to detach. Well, like the last time you hurt me when you said that, so now I'm gonna say something vindictive, or I'm gonna say a joke, but it's not a joke. But like, instead of saying that, just tell me what it is. Like, give me an opportunity to correct what I did that caused you to feel that way. Like, I want to be able to get better. You know, that's why I'm in the relationship, right? Like, I want to be able to be given that opportunity. And even if you might have to give me several opportunities to learn, because it's something that's maybe not, doesn't come natural to me and how I am, but I'm here because I want to make that work, and I want to find a way that I can meet you halfway on this path and say, this is what you need and this is what, how I can do it.
Yeah.
But there's like a, like you said, there's a way to be able to communicate, and sometimes when emotions run really high, we can forget that we don't need to like tear the whole place down with wrath of the flames.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of being a human being, though. Like, sometimes you're gonna end up, like, even the most emotionally regulated people are going to fall into that sometimes. Like, it's just part of being a human being. And the best that we can all do is to just try and remember, like, keep in your mind the best you can, because again, it's not always gonna happen. Is this worth saying? Is this worth upsetting this person? Is this worth hurting this person? What, like, looking inward again, because that's really what it's all about. Like, how, what you're bringing to the situation and saying, okay, what do I hope to accomplish here? And is this the best way to accomplish this?
Yeah. I think that is that constant dialogue and communication, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it comes back, like we said earlier, it always will come down to communication. And I think showing up in a loving, respectful way, because in the end, the person that's sitting across from you, they're not a stranger. They're not your opponent. Mm-hmm. Like, they're here for you.
Yeah.
Like, they're sitting at this table because of you.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes we get so caught up in our own pain that we just start to feel like it's us against, it's me versus everybody else, but it's really us versus everybody else. Like, we forget that sometimes, that the person that's across the table from us, just because they shared something that was this not sweet, like, it wasn't like you're the best thing that's ever happened on God's green earth, thank you.
Right. Like, I should be hearing that all the time. You shouldn't ever say anything else to me.
Like, don't you see the red carpet when I walk that rolls? But, you know, I think that there's moments in time when maybe our pain can be blinding, or our bubbles can be so blinding that we forget that the person sitting across from us is really here for us and not against us. And they're here to help us to take some of that load. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean to carry the load for us, because in the end, guess what? You can have the best partner next to you in bed and you still go to sleep alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you like the home you're building for yourself first and foremost?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are your own priority. If you don't make yourself your own priority, you can try and try, it'll never be good enough what you give to others, because you're not giving to yourself. And it's going to be seen, it's going to be felt one way or another. But remembering that the people you have across the table, and that could be, you know, your life partner, it could be your best friend, it could be, you know, someone that you trust, they're not against you.
Same team.
Right?
It's like,
I'm wearing the same jersey. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna beat the other people's ass if they're going against you. Trust and believe.
Yeah.
But you don't have to look at me like I'm wearing the enemy's jerseys. What is it?
I said they can catch hands.
They can catch these hands. For sure. But, you know, I think that that's like a real, like, reality, that there's times where, like, you say something and you can formulate it, you can verb it, you can literally lay it down and say, like, I really wish or you really want something positive to come from that conversation. It can be said with the best tonality. It can be said with the correct words, and it's still not going to be interpreted the way you want it to, because in that moment in time, the person forgot for a fraction of a second that you weren't trying to come at them. Mm-hmm. Like, you were just letting them know, I want us to be more together, more of a team. This is what I would need, or this is what I would like to see happen to make me feel closer to you. And the same is getting true in the reverse. So there's this constant learning that happens in these relationships. And I find this exciting. I think there's a truth, right? About some people are like, oh, you know, you changed. Well, I would hope so. You met me and I was here, but everything we've gone through together, that I've gone through in my own life, my own independent life, internally, externally, I would hope that you get excited to meet a new version of me each time, and I don't wake up and suddenly feel like that version of who I am that's equally as true to who I am today than who I was then, that I'm loved and seen just as much. And if anything, there's this excitement to say, so what phase are we in now, right? Like, let's discover this world together. What's the new thing that you want to, you know, what place in the world you want to see? What things do you want to do that we can take this adventure together? And that can be literal, or it could be on a completely metaphorical sense of the word, because there's explorations of who you are, what you like, the things that hurt you, the things that heal you. Yeah. Those things change. This thing that you can like one flavor of bubblegum for 15 years, and all of a sudden you taste it and you're like, ew, what did I ever like this? So there's a beauty in that, for discovering of who we are and changing, and having someone along for that ride to say, you know what, like, I want to do that with you.
Yes, to grow and evolve with you.
Through the shit. Yeah. Like it's gonna take some times where you don't see anything pretty for a while, and it's tough, and it's tough conversations, and it's, you know, tough things that are happening around in life that you can't control, right? Mm-hmm. But those moments really lead to some really beautiful ones, even better ones. Wait, see, that was an affirmation right there.
She's like, yes, queen. I mean, come on. Come here. She was just laying down on the floor peacefully. Em, come on. We live with cats now. Come on, here. Yeah, I agree. Same team. Let's do this together. Let's work through our shit together, and level up together. I think that's like, it's a lot easier said than done, but that's the kind of shit that makes or breaks relationships, really. Like, being able to forgive each other, being able to forgive yourself, because at the end of the day, you are both human beings, and no one is ever going to be perfect. If you expect somebody to be perfect, you are going to be disappointed every fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just a matter of, like, remembering the value that person brings into your life and appreciating them for that. Right. And forgiving anything else, like, truly.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add something to that, but I'm kind of escaping now.
It's okay. It's late. Yes. I can't believe
that happened. Like, how many platforms did we try to make this work on?
This is the fourth one. I think that this was great.
Yes, this is nice.
I am so glad that we finally made it happen. I'm sorry that it was a bit of a clusterfuck at first.
I'm here for it.
Buckle up, baby.
Going a lump in the side.
Oh my god. All right. Well, I guess, yeah, you're going to be my live guest, I have a feeling, because we'll just talk about anything. What I'm going to do, I think, in the future, though, is properly promote it.
Okay.
And maybe we can do it a little earlier. Yes. Get some people to participate, you know. she's like,
yeah, isn't I think I've seen, because I was off Instagram for like a year and a half, so I just came back on not so long ago, but I think now you can do more than one person online.
Yeah, we could like add people and shit,
like, you know, someone's like, oh, they have a comment or a question, mm-hmm. to ask, come on up. Yeah. Coming up to the stage.
Join us.
I feel like I'm in a talk show. Here's the microphone. I don't know what act that was, but
here's the microphone. All right. I'm gonna end this. But it was an absolute pleasure is what I was going to say. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who I feel like we had a nice little flow of people and a steady couple of people who hung in there. So hopefully this
nice. I can't even see for some reason the notifications of who's coming up or not. But anyways, it's nice to be here. Yes. I'm glad that we're doing this. I know we had talked about it for a little over a month, and I think it was just a good timing.
Happening.
Until next time, girl.
Yes, thanks for joining Tea Time with Tara.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
You too.